It's a great privilege to be asked to preach at Roger's Thanksgiving service. Back in, I think it was 2017, I was to lead a tour to Israel. And Roger came up to me and had the brochure and said, "Yeah, I think I'd like to come with you." Then he looked at the price. And he said, I could afford to come, but I don't really want to waste my money on just something like that, because it'd be just for me. And I just said, almost just off the cuff like we do, "Well, I'm off to Burma soon. Why didn't you come with me there?" Well, Roger came. It was my 11th trip. It was his first. At the end of the trip, he knew more Burmese than I did, and he probably had more friends in Burma than I'd made in the previous 10 years. And it's wonderful to travel with somebody on a mission like that, because it wasn't a holiday. We're working every day. We're going to various places. We're going into places where tourists don't go. And it was wonderful to be with Roger. The only criticism I would have of Roger, the only time I was really angry with him, was whenever we went out, we were given food, and Roger would eat anything. And all through the night, my head would be down the toilet and he would be snoring in his bed. And I think if he ever wanted to throttle somebody, it would have been on those occasions. The morning I heard on the Monday from Dennis that Roger had passed from life to life eternal, I immediately sat down at my laptop and emailed our friend Swan. The year after we travelled together, Roger went on his own. And Roger went to places that I'd never been to. Roger went out on mission with Swan. And I got this reply from Swan. It's a short reply, but it gives you some idea of the esteem in which Roger was held in and still is held in Burma. "Dear Jim, I was very surprised and deeply saddened to hear about our dear brother Roger has gone to be with the Lord. My tears dropping from my eye, even as I'm writing this email to you. I've received email from Roger last November. I thought he was getting recovered, and I thank the Lord as I hope that we will be meeting again on earth, but now he is gone. However, I am proud for Roger, as he has left us behind good memories. That is how much he loved the Lord. He has taught me the way of the Lord during our gospel trip to the up on the hillside of the villages where I do a mission. We stayed in the hotel, and he always talked to me about how God is gracious to sinner like us. How can I forget the wonderful time of fellowship together with the Lord?" My text is taken from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to a church. A church that he loves, a people that he loves, and a people that he knows loves him. He's got a problem. The problem he has is that he's really ready to go and be with the Lord. But he knows he's needed here on earth. And it's much of a problem for Paul, because it's a personal issue as far as he's concerned. "I'd rather be with him," he said, "but if it's necessary, if it's his will, I'll stay on earth as long as I'm needed." When we heard about Roger's death, we realised that we were losing somebody, as Dennis has already said, we were losing somebody who was such an inspiration to us all. Me included, very much so. And yet, the Lord took him to be with him in glory. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul I want to focus upon. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's a profound statement. But it's a statement that needs a little bit of explanation. What was it that drove this man to write those things? And I saw a parallel when I looked at that with Roger. "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Why? Because Roger wasn't just a Christian in the sense that he followed the Christian faith or the Christian religion, however you want to define it. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about the church. It was about Christ. It was about Jesus. And the same with the Apostle Paul. It was about Jesus. You see, it's not a religion. It's not a system which you actually accept and get involved in and somehow make your way through it so that you don't fear death anymore, and when you die you believe you're going to be with God in glory. It's not about that. It's about a person called Jesus who comes into your life and transforms you. And that's the driving force that really made Roger such a blessing to so many people. All he wanted to talk about was the Lord Jesus. Why? Why did Paul want to say that? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why did Roger want to just talk about Jesus? Well, it was because of the transformation that takes place when a person puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Someone coming to him just as we are, because we can't come to him any other way. Open, honest. We're all full of sin, full of unbelief, all those things that keep us from having Roger's confidence that he was going to be with the Lord. Would we not want that confidence to look forward, to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Why? Well, if Roger was standing here, he'd tell you. But let me tell you on his behalf and on behalf of the Apostle Paul. It's because Jesus Christ came into his life and changed it. It's because he came to Christ. Christ came to him. For the Apostle Paul, it was very dramatic. Some of you may know the story of his conversion. He was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, he was a rabbi, and he hated the church of Jesus Christ. His name was Saul of Tarsus. He loathed every Christian and he was intent on destroying the church of Jesus Christ. So you can't get much further away from God than that. Even though he thought he was doing God's will. If any of you this afternoon think you're really bad, you weren't as bad as Paul was in those days. And he was on the way with a letter giving him authority to destroy the church, to imprison Christians, even have them executed. But something happened to him. On that way, on the road, on the road to Damascus, Christ appeared to him. Christ stopped him and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you?" said Saul. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Saul was transformed by the presence of Christ, and he became Paul, the apostle. Now, Roger's conversion may not have been as dramatic as that. And those of us here this afternoon who are Christians may say, well, it wasn't as dramatic as that for me. But that's exactly what happened to Roger. Christ came into his life and transformed his life. And he came alive for the very first time. You see, God created us to be at one with him. Nobody dies of natural causes. Do you know that? Simply because we weren't created to die. When God created the human race, he created the human race to live forever and to live with him forever and to know him forever. Sin entered the human race through Adam and Eve. And it was sin that separated man from God. It was sin that blinded our eyes to the reality of God. It was sin that stopped our ears to God. And because of sin, man doesn't believe. Because of sin, man just derides the fact that there's a God. Because of sin, man feels he has no hope after death. You close your eyes, your heart stops beating, your brain ceases to function, and that's it. And God sent Jesus Christ into the world to be the perfect man, Because God said, the wages of sin is death. Death came upon man because of sin. But I've sent my Son into this world so that he can die in your place and take away your sin. And you can be at one with me again. Complete transformation. The Bible actually says we're dead until we're alive to Jesus Christ. We're dead to God. We're dead to understanding. Why was Roger always talking about Jesus? Surely he had another subject he wanted to talk about. Why? Because something had happened to him. Something had transformed him. And he wanted desperately others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we were in Burma, we'd be sitting down at the table eating. Where's Roger? Roger's over talking to somebody. Talking about Jesus. Especially the children. Children in the Bethesda orphanage. You can see Roger sitting on the floor with them. We're sitting there looking at Roger sitting on the floor with them. Why? Because Roger wants to tell them about Jesus. Why? Why would he want to come all the way to Burma and then go back on his own, having had experiences in Albania, health problems, and go with Swan out into the jungle areas, into areas where tourists do not go? Why would he want to do that at his time of life? Because to live for Roger was Christ. Because he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ had changed his life. That's what it's all about in the end. Our sin separates us from God. And by faith in Christ, a very simple thing, our sin is dealt with through Jesus Christ on the cross. And we enter then into a living relationship with God that nobody would understand unless you have that living relationship with God. A living relationship with God that just transforms your whole being, redirects your whole life, gives you that hope and that joy of knowing that death has lost its sting, the grave has lost its victory. We no longer need to fear the grave or the crematorium, because we know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Roger's death is really passing into life eternal. I'm reminded of those words of Jesus. Remember, he said this: I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Before that, he says, the thief comes in to kill, to steal and destroy. And I often tell the story, again, going back to Burma, because Burma was certainly on Roger's heart, so I don't mind using illustrations from Burma. I worked with the barefoot doctors who worked in Burma in the most remote villages, and they would take medicine and expertise into villages that had never been touched before. And they were Christians, and they took the Bible and they took the gospel, and I would be part of their training, their Bible training, before they went in. And they would report back. And one young man reported back when he came back the following January to Chiang Mai in Thailand. And he told us the most amazing story. He told us that he'd gone towards a village right there in the remote Kachin state, right at the top of Burma, near the Chinese border, a village that was 7 days' walk from the main road. You had to walk because there were no roads. That's how far it was. That's how remote it was. And as he approached the village, he saw what seems to be the most horrific sight. There were children, but they didn't look like normal children because they were almost like walking skeletons. And then he saw some of the adults, and they too were so emaciated. As he approached the village, he had to be careful because some of these people can be very hostile. Eventually, he made his way into the village. And he spoke to the head man in the village and asked, what's the problem? He discovered a quick diagnosis that they had worms, intestinal worms. And he had in his wonderful backpack that they carry medication. And he could go back and get more medication for the whole village. And when he said this to the head of the village, the head of the village says, no. No, you can't come back. You can't come back. Why? Because the Buddhist monks have told us that the worms are our friends. They keep us warm on the cold nights in the mountains. There's the remedy in the backpack of my dear friend who's the barefoot doctor. There are the people. There are the little children dying through malnutrition. You can't give that medicine to the children because the worms are our friends. I remember that story moving Roger very much because he had a heart for those people in the villages, and he had gone to some of the villages and taken the gospel to them. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes in to kill, to steal and destroy. That thief is sin, is Satan. We're comfortable with our sin. We're comfortable with our unbelief. You meet someone like Roger and he sometimes makes you feel uncomfortable. Why? Because he wants to talk about Jesus. It unsettles us when we hear about Jesus. Because it challenges us. Is it true? Would he really do that for me? Will he really change my life? I have come that you might have life, said Jesus. That sin in our hearts is like that thief who kills us, steals all that God wants to give us and destroys us. And all we need to do is come to Jesus. That's what Roger did. That's what Sally did. That's what many of you here today have done. And realize that you could say with the Apostle Paul, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. My abiding memory of Roger in Burma was that wonderful, wonderful relationship he had with all these people. He just longed that they would come to know Jesus. He wanted to learn the language so he could talk without an interpreter, that they might come to know Jesus. And he would long that everyone in this building would know the same Jesus as their Saviour. Because we're celebrating not just Roger's life, but what Jesus has done for Roger. He's now with him in glory. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Transported into glory, changed from glory unto glory, until heaven we see thy face, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love and grace. Can you imagine when heaven's doors were flung open and Roger came in? Roger would have gone up to Jesus and said, Chesebe, which is Burmese for thank you. Shall we pray? Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this wonderful gospel. It's so simple, so powerful, so wonderful that a life can be changed to the point where we could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, we thank you for the truth of that gospel. We thank you that it shone through Roger. We thank you, dear Lord, for the passion that he had for you. But Lord, he would take no credit for that whatsoever. Because as he was always saying to me and to others, it was all by grace. It's only God's love for me, a sinner. If it was for down to me, I wouldn't even know God. But oh, how we thank you. And so as we thank you for Roger, we thank you above all for this wonderful gospel. And we thank you, dear Lord, that we can be here today with a sure and certain hope that that dear man is with you in glory and sees you face to face. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Our final hymn is the same hymn with which we closed Sally's funeral. Roger chose it with me on that occasion, and it aptly sums up what Jim has been saying to us this afternoon. Forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. And we'll stand and sing. Let us pray. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Please be seated.